This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. In Missouri and Illinois, the average price of electricity has been growing steadily since 2018. But it's not just these two states. That upward trend is happening across the Midwest and the entire nation. And it's prompted the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and the U.S. Department of Agriculture to adopt updated energy standards for new single and multifamily homes, changes that would make such housing more affordable and energy efficient. Here to talk with us about those changes, we have Holly Edgell, Managing Editor of the Midwest Newsroom, which is a collaboration between NPR, Nebraska Public Media, KCUR, Iowa Public Radio, and St. Louis Public Radio. Holly, it's great to have you back with us.
Great to be here.
So these changes, what are they and to what homes would they apply?
So I'll answer the second part first. So these apply to new construction of single or multifamily homes that are either built by HUD, financed by HUD, HUD vouchers, anything like that going forward. And that right now, HUD serves more than 2 million households. So anything going forward would be included in this. And believe it or not, and we've done reporting on this, in both Missouri, Illinois, and many states, the building codes, the energy codes, they're not uniform. They're not necessarily up to date. So these are going to make sure that anything that's funded by HUD mm-hmm. is going to have current standards for insulation, air sealing, so like where air gets in and out of your home is a really big energy loss, mm-hmm. and you may be paying for electricity, heat, cooling that you're not really getting. Also, efficient windows, of course, lighting, heating and cooling systems. So all of these things combined are going to really be a game changer for anyone who's living in housing that's built or financed by HUD.
Mm-hmm. You said there's an uneven code system. So no statewide code in Missouri or Kansas. So cities and municipalities, and they're operating under their own kind of rules. I mean, why is there such a lack of consistency?
Sure. Well, we don't have a nationwide standard for building and energy codes. It's all more or less voluntary. The codes are set by something called the International Code Council, and they can range. There are counties and cities in our region that are using codes from 2012. There are counties that are using codes from 2018. And it really is up to the local municipality, the county. There are some counties here in Missouri that don't have any particular codes. Now, that doesn't mean that no one is building to code. Individual developers and architects are often trying to match the best code, the most recent code that's in line with what their client can afford. Mm-hmm. And so doing this, that the fact that HUD is doing this for rural and urban development anywhere is going to be a big game changer for sort of providing that energy efficiency for people at income levels that maybe couldn't afford it before.
Mm-hmm. What is it about the rural that gets overlooked? And is this part of the reason U.S. Department of Agriculture is involved?
That's right. So HUD works closely with USDA on housing in rural areas. And there's a lot of old housing stock in rural areas. Representative Emmanuel Cleaver, who's quoted in my story, he represents the other side of the state, the Kansas City area. But he talks about how there are counties in that part of the state and probably elsewhere that haven't had any major new significant housing building developments in 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And you can think about how our electricity rates and our climate have both changed just in that amount of time.
Right.
So people in rural areas, this is going to be a huge thing for them where new housing and projects come in, they're going to have that energy efficiency.
Mm-hmm. So to put sort of a finer point on the efficiency and then how it affects people, you spoke with Xavier Boatwright, who's the deputy legislative director for the Sierra Club, and he had said this, energy efficient homes will especially benefit those in rural areas and then lower income homeowners. Holly, what are the estimated cost savings and why are they so helpful?
Sure. Well, if you think about the average, HUD is saying that on average, this will save something like $950 a year. Now, for some people, that may not seem like a lot of money, But that's $950 a year that a family could put toward savings, toward after-school programs for the kids, and other enrichment ideas for their family. And I think Mr. Boatwright also talked about putting that money into making your home even better and stronger for the future, putting that back into generational wealth, funding education. So what can you do with that extra $950 a year is what he's talking about. And I think that that's another effect of this. So saving on your electric bill, as well as putting more money in your pocket as a family.
Mm-hmm. And then there are many people with fixed incomes. This is taking into account. And among lower income folks, we also have senior citizens, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And I know Missouri and Illinois have these programs where if you're in danger of not being able to pay your bill, you go and stand in line, or you apply online and you hope that you'll get some relief. If you're doing that on a regular basis, that takes a toll, especially if you are on a fixed income, maybe you're a senior citizen. And so, you know, this all, HUD says this is all part of trying to cut down on these barriers to people so that they can afford their bills and not have to be continuously looking for a way to get from Peter to pay Paul, to keep their places cool or warm or whatever it is that they need at that time of year.
Mm-hmm. Why is it that improved building standards especially are needed for these lower income households? I mean, is there something about these homes that really stands out uniquely insofar as the way that they are built?
Well, I think that what I'm understanding is that most of this, so much of our stock that's affordable is old. It's old, and it may be that the cost to try to do any kind of major repair is just not within reach of families on a fixed income, families in lower income areas. Maybe you did inherit a home from your family, but there's no way that you can fix the roof, install new windows, do all those types of things. And so I think that that's where, when HUD is looking ahead to what it can do, that's what it's trying to say. It's saying anything we do going forward is going to be better.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a couple of the folks that you've spoken with. And insofar as wider application goes, because right now these federal energy standards apply only to new housing, right?
And then HUD housing. Yeah.
And HUD housing. Mm-hmm. So a congressional coalition that includes U.S. Representative Emanuel Cleaver, who's a Democrat from Missouri, is urging Fannie and Freddie Mac, the two biggest mortgage backers, to adopt similar building rules. And there's a decision to come, you know, sometime this month. What would expanding the coverage of these codes mean?
Well, if you think about the fact that Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, they back up to 70% of all mortgages in the country. So they're two agencies. They are overseen by the federal government, but they are not government agencies. Nevertheless, they basically make it so that our housing market stays liquid. And so if you think about requiring up to 70% of any housing in the country to be better built, have better energy efficiency standards, imagine the impact on people's bottom line at whatever income level.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants to save money. We don't like to pay for hundreds of dollars a month for electricity and maybe not even feel the benefit because our house is older.
Right.
You know, here in St. Louis, a housing stock, more than 100 years old. And so if the FHFA, which is the agency overseeing those two enterprises, were to adopt some stricter standards, the experts I spoke to said that would pretty much be a game changer in terms of energy efficiency and electricity costs for homeowners.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about the energy efficiency part and emissions specifically. So construction and operation of houses and buildings, that accounts for about 40% of carbon dioxide emissions in the U.S. That is no small amount.
No, it's not.
So what is it that policy experts you spoke with, what did they say about emissions reductions?
So when you think about the kinds of materials that are put into new construction, the kinds of materials and technology that goes into energy-efficient appliances, the kinds of heating and cooling systems that go in, whether new construction or you're replacing, all of these things combine to cut down on those emissions. all of these things cut into that sort of big number that is kind of scary and that we're trying to reduce. But it's hard to do that when it's piecemeal, when the energy efficiency codes are all over the place. If we start to see this wider spread adoption by large federal agencies and enterprises that can really make an impact, what the experts that I've talked to have said, that's going to really change the trajectory of emissions for the U.S.
Mm-hmm. So piecemeal, different people, different places, with builders and developers, right? And they lobby against stricter building codes. What is their argument, Holly? And, you know, to what extent is their lobbying effective, not only in the Midwest, but in different parts of the country?
Yeah. I mean, I think the tension is always going to come down to the price. In my previous reporting, I spoke with Alice Hill from the Center for Foreign Relations, and she talked about that desire for the consumer to buy an affordable house, the desire for the developer to provide that affordable house and also make money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that tension comes in. So builders are going to be watching and are going to be very protective of their sort of sense of how much is it going to cost me as a builder to make a house that then someone can buy.
Right.
So there's, understandably, there's that concern. And there is lobbying that happens around what is that standard going to be? Are we going to have a national standard? Doesn't look like it. Because the builders will say, well, it's up to $20,000 that comes onto the price tag of a new house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, HUD is going to say, which they have said and other experts have said, it's more like $6,500 or less on that price tag, and it will pay off in lower utility bills over time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the experts I talked to said it really takes about a year and a half to start seeing the payoff in your utility bills when that investment is made up front in clean energy, sustainable energy, energy efficiency.
Mm-hmm. A year and a half, that's like six seasons.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Holly, news you can use is something else that you have delivered with this, and you've put together a list of incentives and grants for homeowners who are looking for energy savings. Tell us what kinds of programs are available.
Sure. And this is not a complete list, but we wanted to give people a sense that they don't have to wait for HUD, for Fannie Mae, for anybody. One of the experts I spoke with, Mr. Boatwright, said we're at an all-time high for monies, incentives, grants, rebates. It's just a matter of finding them. And so we put them together. For example, we know that Ameren, Illinois has rebates already for your home in energy efficiency. In Missouri, there's something called Community Savers that gives you a free assessment so you can figure out what you qualify for.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's national stuff as well from the IRS. So look it up, Google it, find out where you can save money.
Mm-hmm. And you can view that full list at stlpr.org. Holly Edgell is managing editor for the Midwest Newsroom, a collaboration between NPR, Nebraska Public Media, KCUR, Iowa Public Radio, and St. Louis Public Radio. Thanks so much, Holly.
Thank you.
Today's segment was produced by Aula Kuziz.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.